You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Well, we have people in the studio, Craig. It's hard for me to get back to work when there's some. I have Scott Stantis, our cartoonist, political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and joining us now from many things lovely and sexy is Leslie.
You never introduced me that way.
I'm sorry. Lovely and sexy?
Yeah.
Goddess of love incarnate. How yes. are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We were asked to include you in our favorites because we have a favorite named Michelle Lamour who has been on the show many times.
She's
and she
great.
Said, please, I guarantee you will enjoy spending time with Leslie. And I already have.
She's good. We're doing a little event tomorrow. She's doing her Naked Girls reading of my book, Goddess of Love Incarnate, which is kind of appropriate. Striptease, burlesque lady, Lily Sincere. And I just wrote the biography about her. And so Michelle's going to heat it up.
So Lily Sincere is this, the biography. What generation of burlesque performer?
She was big 30s, 40s, 50s. Not 30s, excuse me. She started 30s. She really became big 40s, 50s, and was really big here.
So
in this, Chicago.
How wonderful that you wrote a historical biography on one of the. So would you say? Okay, I'm not familiar with.
She's actually in her day. She was bigger than anybody, bigger than Gypsy Rose Lee. She made more money. Everybody knew who she was. She was very, because she was so beautiful and classy and gorgeous. She was very much accepted. Mm-hmm. She was the first stripper to perform in a nightclub in Ciro's in Los Angeles, and the first stripper. This is unbelievable in Las Vegas. Before
what?
The restaurant, she opened it up. Yes.
So who brought her into Vegas? Which I'm going to say like Bugsy. Who
El
was
Rancho.
It? El Rancho.
Yeah. Because she was so accepted. So men and women went and it was a different kind of a thing. It was like, oh, that. So really in her day, we don't know her so much today. She was huge, huge, huge. Everybody would have known who she was.
What made Gypsy Rose sort of the one that stands the test of time?
She had a bigger personality. She was a better promoter. Lily was very shy.
In the sense of marketing, not in the sense
absolutely.
Of being on stage.
Well, she was on stage. She actually didn't show very much, and she usually came on in lingerie and then had a little scenario like, oh, I'm preparing for a date, so I'd have to change my clothes, and that's how she did a strip. It wasn't towards the audience. It wasn't for the audience. It was like, I'm in my own little world here and, you know.
Inside the story. Yeah. And that was where she could live, kind of creating that imagery. Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's another thing that made her she was one of the more acceptable ones.
Oh, wonderful. Know? Now, how long did this book take you to write?
5 years.
Five.
Wow.
Her sister came to me. My first documentary, I also make documentaries, was Behind the Burlicue, which was the history of burlesque, talking to people from the 30s, 40s, 50s who had worked in it. And afterwards, her sister came to me, who's 90 and who's still alive today, who was married to the biggest burlesque producer, Minsky, who you all know, mm-hmm. and was huge in Chicago. She came to me and said, you have to write this book. I was like, no, I'm really not interested. I wrote one. I want to like get out. I don't need to be in burlesque ever again, but of course I will be forever now. And I just found out some really amazing things about Lily and, you know, how rich she was and how, you know, she had, you know, all these lovers that were well known. And
she ever get married?
Six times.
Six times.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wiki.
Yeah. But, you know, she had affairs with Artie Shaw and, you know, Yul Brynner. And she was very much in the zeitgeist of her day.
And by the way, her name is Lily Sincere.
Sincere.
It's
pronounced that way, but it was. You know, it's a made-up name, obviously, but it was.
Well, if you look at Lily Saint Sincere is a porn star now, so I'm
going to
erase
off of Lily.
That.
Yes, please.
From the research you've done for both of these books, what would you say? How would you sort of describe the attitudes of audiences, like the attitude toward burlesque in general?
Well, it depends. Actually, in its day, when it first started, it was acceptable. Mm-hmm. It was men and women and couples. And then it became kind of a thing that they were ashamed of. Even today when I talk about that I'm a historian of this, oh, well, you know, it's really pornography and these girls were prostitutes and it wasn't at all.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, no, they were making a living. They weren't doing lap dancing. They were doing a show and they showed very little.
Even this image that Scott just showed me with Lily Sincere, sort of with, it looks like some sort of a big bird. And it, yes. you can see that she
created an act.
Right. Well, it seems like she's telling a story from her feet all the way through her hands. You can see that
they were
in that
dancers.
Picture.
And yeah. her in particular, she would go on stage. She spent all her money on real jewels. And she would come in Dior and Balenciaga gowns and furs on top of furs. I mean, it was very, it's just not what people think of a stripper mm-hmm. or burlesque being, you know, they just run on stage and they throw off their clothes. No, they actually created an art form out of what they did. And for a lot of these women, which people don't understand, they didn't have the opportunities in that day, in the 30s when she was raised, in the 40s, to be much else. You know, right. she wasn't very well educated. She was smart, but... You know,
this was a place where she'd be creative yes. and, you know, it sort of reach her potential of yes. what she wanted to embody. Wow, it's a really remarkable story.
Yeah, she was really incredible. And it was three sisters and they all got into burlesque.
Oh, really?
In various forms. One married a millionaire, one married the biggest, producer in burlesque, and Lily, who married a lot of people. But she was, you know, the biggest star of
her
day.
You know, there's a moment, I think, in a young woman's life, if she's ever considering using her body to make money, right? Whether that, and she doesn't understand what that means. And I've talked about this on the show before. I actually, and Scott, this may be new news for you. Craig is familiar. I don't know if Esmeralda's heard me talk about this. But I came at a point early in my comedy career where I needed to pay rent. I had dropped out of grad school. I was like, and I kept hearing these ads and I kept seeing these things in the paper. And it was Dance at Heavenly Bodies. So I went and I checked it out. And it was a really seedy joint over by the airport. And it was not something, I wish I had found some other way or some, I didn't have any, I was curious. And my mother, by the way, Craig, I think I told you this. My mom said, if I had a body like yours, I would have made so much money. My mom has also said, I looked good when I was young. I could have made a lot of money, but you can make a lot of money. Yes, Mom, you said something along those lines. I might be paraphrasing, but you know it's true. Let's not get into it. But, you know, but it was confusing for me. I'm in my 20s, and there wasn't the burlesque scene. There also wasn't social media. How did women in the 30s and 40s, you said that these women kind of married into it or found it. There wasn't that sort of community. I just knew that there was a way to make money or to express yourself with your body, and I was curious.
A lot of them got into it very much happenstance. Somebody, usually a boyfriend or a husband, here, do this, try this. And they really found it as an opportunity.
Right.
A lot of them did want to be actors. They wanted to be movie stars, but they didn't have the training. Maybe they didn't have the talent. They didn't have, you know, whatever it takes to make it in that way. But they could create something, and they weren't really doing anything wrong, even though... Even today, there's still such a stigma and mm-hmm. a misconception. I interviewed women who, for 50 years, never talked about it. I interviewed one woman who didn't tell her sons until the year before I interviewed her.
Right.
You know, because there was that shame. They were like, oh, it means, stripper means a certain thing.
Right. I was trying to explore. I had grown up being ashamed of my body because mm-hmm. I had developed early. I was a big boob girl in high school. They called me baboon butt in grade school because I didn't really know how to balance things out. Mm. And when I realized that, you know, as I got older and I was kind of trying to own it, I was curious about that. I was curious about sort of having that sort of power. And there is a vulnerability when you are a lap dancer or you're trying to do the pole dancing. At that place, the security was really terrible. So, I mean, you would have guys like shove their head in your boobs or grab you. And, you know, I would end up getting into arguments. The way I actually ended up getting fired.
wow.
Oops.
Wow.
The way I ended up, there was a customer. Because, I mean, the thing, and so this is different from burlesque. Burlesque is a performance, whereas.
And, the customer's not touching you.
No, they're not touching you.
And you're not mingling
and
with them.
And so Heavenly Bodies was a bikini bar. So it wasn't full nudity. And actually, even my whole gig was wearing black. I was always black and white. And I would wear a long pearl necklace. And I tried to do different looks. Right. And go-go boots. It was not even the right mix. I'm sorry. But if I couldn't pull on the necklace, I couldn't be suggestive with the necklace. I could only do certain moves, but I couldn't tug on the necklace because the security would come over and tell me I couldn't do that. Uh-huh. But guys with their hands on my hips and you would have to go up to a customer, and it was mostly flirting. And that was the part that I could never, it was the talking and having the conversation. I just want to slide on that pole over there. Craig's like, how far are you going to go with this conversation?
We could totally take a break. No problem.
How long did you do that for?
Only a few months.
But you know, one of the most interesting things I found out in burlesque is it was so different than today. There was all body types. Mm-hmm. Not one of the women talked about, I should be thinner, I should be fatter, I should be this or I should be that, or none of them. They were kind of like, you know what? I was hot. And they were all different body types. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't the perfect thing.
I was. And women hated, the girls hated me there because I was bigger. They were like, when did you get those done? I'm like, no, look at how saggy they are. Come on. More after this on 720 WGN.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Someday, Craig, we will someday record what's going on off the air. But
someday, but not today.
Until that day, I can say whatever I want.
Ooh, you can put them in like a pay thing.
We can put them where?
In like a pay subscription.
Yes.
Because they're going to be dirty and
but
all that.
Do you think that we would then be guarded? We would censor ourselves? Like the conversation I'm having with Leslie Zemeckis.
No, that would be
and
the whole
Scott
thing.
Santis.
I don't think we're said anything that's bad.
That's bad?
I have cussed
several times in the last few moments.
Okay, well, that's the premium. You got to be ready for that.
Yeah, but I would think you guys would say whatever you're talking about on air if you could.
Do you have headphones, Leslie? That's our traffic reporter.
I actually proposed that once for a radio show, saying we do the, you know, at the end of the hour, you add another extra 10 minutes of an interview that's really going well. And, you know, all the rules are lifted.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. And, you know.
My chips would fall in different places.
Yes, they would.
I would owe chips. Craig is trying to think of
this idea is so great. Question mark.
It's not.
Question mark.
I mean, our listeners would not be surprised that off the air I sound a little different. I think we've talked about that before.
You don't sound that different. You don't. You say a few.
Scott, she sounds a little bit different.
Just a little bit different. Yes. Just
like,
Have you ever hung out with Kathy and Judy? They sound a little different too. Just so you know. By the way, they have inspired me and have had a great influence on my career. And I'm sure that Leslie Zemeckis is all. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't take some photos. Get it done. You look
Instagram.
I have a series of selfies called Selfish Selfies, which means I keep taking them until I look good.
So, oh, you look fabulous in all of them. Huh?
That's why. I don't use the ones that didn't work, my friend.
Hello?
The right angle.
The claw.
The claw. Right. Yes, I have
it. Like 20. It's like whatever works.
And with a group of people, it's so hard because you take one and they start moving. What are you doing?
I've been in one where there have been like, seems like 17 people. And you're like, the claw, we got to wait. Yes. We're all smiling.
So, Leslie,
and then she'll go, wait, another one. Bangs aren't working.
Super.
Yeah. My bangs are never working, just so you know. So this is called the claw. So I can grab the phone and take a picture like without the, yes.
What is the claw?
So this is how I hold the phone. It's with the, yeah, I will teach you before you leave. I promise.
It's a secret.
Although
people who are streaming us live on the internet can see this.
Oh, come on. We got to get one.
Get one right. Okay, get right there. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's good radio.
Everybody's like listening to this going, what are they doing? Because we can't see it whatsoever.
I can't talk and take a picture. Let me see if I can talk take a photo.
Okay, here we go.
I can still talk and take a photo.
You guys look great.
Mm-hmm. It looks
lovely.
Fantastic.
That was really good.
Wait, it's a double
pick.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
The bangs still working?
No.
I've never had whatever this is, but it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. That is amazing.
Spice Box. Isn't that great?
Yes.
We were actually going by Benny's and they were doing a tasting. I'm not a whiskey guy. And they said, do you want to try this? Okay. And then there was love.
And it's going to be all gone soon. Do you?
We have many bottles back home, so we're
raisinets,
cool.
I have by the way, if anyone needs some chocolate. If you have any, and Whoppers.
If your sugar level isn't high enough.
I do sense that.
She's a coma.
When Michelle Lamour's in studio, she's like, I have a show this weekend. Please do not put that in front of me.
Like she has anything to worry about.
I know. She's she is spectacular.
She looks amazing.
She hasn't called, by the way. I said
and Michelle was in studio one time in her costume.
In her costume?
Yeah, that's
our tassels,
what we call it.
Our tassels,
you know,
are
what?
Costume?
She might be
on her way. I don't
working?
Know.
Oh, please have Michelle show up too.
I know.
That'd be cool.
She's spectacular. Well, now she's introduced us to Leslie Zemeckis, and we are thrilled about
that. We're just as thrilled, yes.
And you know, I'm a local, sort of.
Are you really?
Yeah, I have a house here.
I did not know that you were
local.
You're
originally from California, though, so you're a Cali girl. Where are you from?
San Diego.
Where? Wait.
San Diego.
No, what part?
No, but people say that it's like, well, San Diego. Like, no part.
Mm-hmm. No part of San Diego. I'm from Claremont, so I grew up in San Diego.
Wait a minute. Hold on one second. Has he grown up in Alabama and Madison, Wisconsin, and now
California? Yes. No, I moved from California when I was 11 years old. My dad moved us to Madison, friggin' Wisconsin.
This is very sad.
You know, it's weird. Whenever there's a somewhat attractive lady in there, Scott Stantis' place of origin changes.
No, go on Wikipedia.
So does mine. I'm from Alabama.
my God, it's working. Scott, this is the first time it's working.
That was good. Was that a good Alabama?
That's very good.
Very good Alabama.
Can you do Madison?
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
No. One of the most interesting women who just recently passed away was Blaise Starr.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I would... I called her...
The governor of...
Yeah.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I would call and she talked to me like this. I was like... She was like almost 80. And I was like, Blaise, you sound like you're 19 and I want to sleep with you.
Nice.
She'd be like, yes. I know. I was like, incredible. Just Southern.
Yes.
She retained her flavor, but, you know.
That, by the way, is a great movie, if people are not familiar with
it. She had a little teeny part in it, but yeah.
Did she really?
Yeah, and she was very proud of it.
What did she play?
I don't know. I don't remember. I saw it so long ago, but she sent me a picture of her with...
Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Craig, let's put that on our movie list. We do.
I mean, come on, right?
We're doing a movie conversation. We do. What are the rest of our movies going to be called? We have Semper Film. We watch movies with Marines. Leslie, by the way, we have
Marines
with Marines. I met some Marines who took me to San Diego just a few weeks ago.
Aww.
For boot camp.
What part of San Diego?
Did you have to
boot camp? Marine recruit the depot.
So Pendleton, man.
Yeah.
Did you have to do sit-ups or something?
I did all of it. I carried ammunition cans. I did the bayonet course.
There's a picture you posted recently. You're in.
All full
You're
gear.
In helmet, the full gear.
Let's not talk about what. Let's not talk about what happened
That's
on the bayonet
sexy.
Course.
Is that a metaphor?
Something bad happened on the bayonet course that we don't need to revisit again. But they, yeah, there were a lot of people yelling at me. The drill instructors, as cute as they are in their tight shirts, there was a lot of yelling. It just got a little. There was a moment where I'm like, "Go on without me," and I pretty much collapsed in a foxhole. So there was shame. There was shame on the bayonet.
This just
course.
Sounds like a metaphor for.
I don't know. Shame?
What? Tight shirts, foxholes.
Oh, so I'm good. Just so much fun. So they hang out with us.
Bayonets.
Once a month, we do Semper Film with our Marines. But I think Blaise needs to be one of the films that we preview and share with our audience. We're doing a movie club. That's what we're doing with our audience.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. By the way, Monday's movie, we are going to be talking about Smokey and the Bandit. So that's...
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Now that he's denying that he liked doing his... Playgirl thing. You heard that?
Is he really denying
it?
He's saying, oh, I'm so ashamed of it. I wish I'd never done it. Oh, you haven't read that?
Yeah.
No. Why?
It's his latest thing.
Can I need to.
He looks fabulous.
You look very familiar, but I don't know your name. Come on over to the. Will you come to the microphone? No.
I'm just part of the entourage.
All right. Then. And another great voice. But she's nodding about the Playboy experience for Burt Reynolds. I had not heard that he's now.
It's his big thing.
Backing away from his. Wow.
What's the context?
Why now?
Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
He should have manscaped because he does look very mammalian there. He just like, there's a lot of fur.
Well, but that was the thing. In the
that
day.
Was the thing, yeah.
Oh, I know.
We all had hair in the day.
Nobody's got hair anymore.
It was a hairy decade.
Okay, yeah. Can I tell you that when we watched Stripes, when we watched Stripes with the Marines, one of the Marines said, I think I'm going to see some bush. Because he hasn't. He's in his 20s.
Like, what is that
thing? I'm saying he has
that's right. They have no concept.
And then he saw and he was like, yep, there it is. That's like, that's not bad.
What is that stuff?
What do you think about that? The way that we kind of now take care of ourselves, is it dictated by porn or are we dictating
you
porn?
You know, I don't know. That's really interesting because I don't deal with that. But, you know, obviously when I was talking to these women, I said, like, what did you do when you had your period? And some of them were like, I don't know. You know, they kind of was like...
They blocked it. Mental block.
So I never really got an answer. Although one, you know, Dixie Evan, who's really like a big... Sort of in the 50s, she was like, well, we had a sponge and you just shoved it.
There you go. There
but it
is.
Was, you know, but they did where most women didn't, you know, obviously you had to shave because those, you know, little G-strings were tiny.
Right.
So maybe it comes from it. I try not to equate burlesque with porn, even
no,
though
that's
it's
fair enough.
Evolution,
fair
but
enough.
They are really different.
They're very different.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the thing is, and I think that the audience, and that was my question about audiences, are they able to distinguish, you know, because there is a saturation of porn, there's an oversaturation, it is having too much of an impact culturally. Are they able to distinguish when they go to a burlesque performance that it's different than a striptease?
No, because a lot of these girls say, why are these people still trying to touch me?
Right.
Or like make inappropriate, like, will you come home with me? It's like, no, that has nothing to do with anything,
right.
Anything at all.
Yeah, there's sort of a sense of entitlement that porn seems to give.
It's like, okay, you take off your clothes, so that means it's free reign. No, it's not at all.
Right. That's, you know, that was my thing about working at Hooters. I remember Janine Garofalo when I was working there, not me directly, but she was saying that the women who work at places like Hooters give men the right to say whatever they want to us. And I didn't see it that way at all, because when I worked at other restaurants, I was treated worse than I was at Hooters. Mm. Like, I was not. There are the things that men would say to me when I worked at Grizzly Lodge on Lincoln Avenue wearing like black. Yes.
Okay, that's a little frightening.
We served game, wild game, like buffalo and alligator and venison and rabbit. And I would have to wear a lumberjack shirt and black pants. I'm not even kidding. And men would say the most outrageous. If I dropped something and I went to pick it up, hey, while you're down there, why don't you give me a little help? Like that kind of, like that never happened to me.
No, and here's the thing. I think men give themselves permission to do that, and it's disgusting.
Well, obviously.
No, because women go to strip joints. They go to, you know, and see guys, and you don't see them the next day like objectifying the waiter at Denny's.
But it's not objectifying. It's just like for somehow we equate, oh, there's a nude person in front of me, free game, you know, they're not a real person. Mm-hmm. They don't have values. It's just like, it's a body and I can do with it what I will. Right. It's like, no, it's not really for you.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. Yes, Craig?
Do a lot of women actually go to like male strip clubs too? Is that that's not that
big of a
thing?
Are they still around?
I've never been.
Well, I'd say guys, well, they've got, you know, the naughty fireman or policeman to go to.
Well, I think we.
Patty, where do you go?
There was a bachelorette party at Zanies in Vernon Hills, and they hired someone to come to the club. And it was weird because like he was beautiful. And it was like, I think everyone was confused as to what they should be doing, because I think we've seen movies where women like scream and, you know, touch. And
it's like, do they? I don't, I've like, have you ever seen that? I've never even heard of anybody like, yeah, we went to like a male strip thing and we like pulled on their Johnson. It's like, really?
Yeah. Like a group of girls doesn't get together and go to a male strip club. That's not something that happens.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been
or want to touch it.
Right.
You don't know where it's been.
That's true. More after this on 720 WGN. You don't know where that's been.